Appreciate that. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10, if you will. Appreciate the good spirit again. Thank you for participating and being a good church. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. I'm going to speak tonight on the cure for holiday stress. The cure for holiday stress. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. May we stand together, please, for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful," listen to it, "and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her." Now, dear Father, we love you tonight. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Thank you, Father, for a good service. Thank you for working in hearts this morning, those that receive Christ. In different services here in the auditorium and all different places. We thank you for that. And thank you, Father, for working in our midst. Do it again tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, if you will. I'm not going to preach to you long tonight, at least that's my intentions, but I do want us to be able to look at this this thing, if you would, please, called stress tonight and the cure for holiday stress. The Bible has a cure. The Bible has an antidote for everything. I think that when you have a trouble, when you have a problem, when you have a temptation, when you're going through a personal tribulation type of a time in your life, you ought to run to the Scriptures and allow the Scriptures to guide you as to what you ought to do during those perilous times in your life. Here we'll see Jesus is coming, no doubt, here to Martha's house. He's been invited to come to the house. I don't know if this is the first time that he's come to their house or not. I think it is. I do know that it became one of his favorite places to go to. It seems like that every time you would see Jesus going to Bethany, he would wind up here and visiting them. And so these folks became near and dear to his heart. Of course, they had a brother by the name of Lazarus, and you know the story there. But here we'll see that Jesus is now at the house. He's been invited in. Martha's the one, of course, that gave the invitation, and she came in. And no doubt, you know, when you have guests, you know how it is, don't you? When you have guests, I know it's this way around our house. When we have guests, we want to make sure that everything is just a little bit cleaner. And we're clean people, but we want to make sure it's just a little bit cleaner. Our house is not in disarray. You don't see stuff laying all over the floors, and you don't have to climb over clothes and dig your way through trash in order to be able to find a place to seat. We keep a pretty clean house, but when people come over, just to be honest with you, we do a little bit more cleaning and to be able, and we have a you know, some secret rooms or closets, just like you do. And if we get in a hurry, you know, and we have to put some stuff away real quick, we know exactly where to put it and things of that nature, which you will never find. And so it is with this here, this house right here, this household right here. Jesus is coming, and I'm sure that Martha wanted everything prim and proper. I'm sure that she wanted everything in order, but it caused some stress inside of the home, just like that we have holiday stress. Sometimes stress is called because of birthday parties that's during the same time as Christmas. You've heard of people that have a birthday on the Christmas day or on Christmas Eve, and oh boy, does that sometimes cause a little bit of stress when that happens. But there's other type of holiday parties too that people feel like they have to go to because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and so it puts them on the stress of going. And if you're like I am and my wife are, I think we picked it up from her parents, but when somebody invites us to her house, we always go bearing gifts. We just think that that's the customary thing to do. They've been kind enough to invite us to their house, and so we always try to bring a gift or so. But sometimes even finding the right gift is a little bit stressful. May I say, putting up decorations. Some people love to decorate. Some people don't care anything about decorating. And the less you care about decorating, the more stressful it becomes. Cooking that favorite meal. Christmas meal, like a Thanksgiving meal. I think they're almost co-equal. Matter of fact, you probably have the same food on both days. But you know, it is stressful, especially for those that's in the kitchen. Wrapping presents. Oh, I'm not a good present wrapper. I'm just not a good present wrapper. I told my wife, some of the ladies that work here as secretaries and whatnot, I say, look, you want to wrap the presents? Oh, we love wrapping. Oh, God bless you. You wrap these, okay? And so they'll wrap all my Christmas presents that I buy. I buy for the boys, and I buy for my dear wife, and my wife buys for the girls, and she does a good job with that and buys for me. But the ones that I buy, I'll get the ladies that help me on staff, and they'll wrap them, and they do an outstanding job. I can't stand wrapping presents, but they do that, and they do a really, really good job. Now, can I say, if I was one that I'd be wrapping the present, I'd probably get stressful about that. I'd cut the paper too short. I don't know why they use cheap tape on wrapping presents. I don't know why. To me, that's a bothersome thing. When you see a piece of tape that's put on a present and it comes untaped, I think you ought to use shipping tape. Just wrap it real good. You know, and that way somebody, they got to work to get in that thing. Amen? And so it makes it more fun if they got to work to get in it and they got to use a pair of pliers or they got to use cutting shears or something like that, or a butcher knife to get in. But wrapping presents, oh, sometimes that might become stressful. Making those favorite cookies or that favorite bread, or maybe buying a tree. Maybe every year you buy a brand new real tree. Or maybe you go out to the woods. You find a place and you go out to the woods and you cut it down and you go to a tree farm or something like that. You take the family out and it's a family tradition and you find the best one and you pick it out and you cut it down and then you pull it down to where you're going to go and you'll load it up. That might be something that's good, but it might cause some stress. Fighting traffic. Now, you don't know anything about that in Dallas, do you? But fighting traffic, you know, trying to get someplace in a hurry. If you live here in Dallas, you get no place in a hurry. But fighting traffic can cause some stress. Having enough money. Go ahead and turn that off if you can. Having enough money to be able to buy the gifts, sometimes that is stressful. Figuring out, how is it that you celebrate, if you will, with that which is one set of parents and also celebrate with another set of parents without offending either set? Trying to put it in order, that can be stressful. How about this? Trying to get into the store and out of the store without getting damaged. That could be stressful. How about this? How about, things that, if you would please, that don't go well, such as finding a parking spot. Things that don't go well, trying to keep your weight off while eating all of that food that is set before you. Things that might not go well that cause stress. Picking out the right type of clothes for that special ordained occasion, if you will. Or watching, you have your kids in different schools, and so you have to go to both of their plays or something like that, and it's stressful trying to figure out how to do it all. Hanging the tinsel, if you're a tinsel hanger, can cause stress. Sending out the Christmas cards, making sure that you get your family photo on time. Making sure it gets back from the printer on time. Making sure that you get all of those envelopes addressed with the right address on time. All those things can cause stress. It can cause stress by going to the store and hearing those ridiculous songs such as Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer 150 to 200 times, you know, when you go to a store. Cleaning the house can be stressful. Forgetting somebody that you purchased a gift for, that you were supposed to purchase a gift for and you forgot them, and they're coming to your house. And they're related, and you don't have a gift. So what do? You root through all the gifts that was given to you, and you try to give away a gift. Or you go to the store, and you buy something quick, you know, or you do something. I don't know what you do. Okay? Feeling the pressure of a memory. Maybe a lost loved one has died, or maybe a saved person in your family that's one of your beloveds have died and gone to heaven. But it's stressful during that time of year as those memories float across the backside of your mind. It is stressful. Knowing that the year's coming to a close, and for those that own businesses where you have to get all your records done and you're getting ready to file taxes come January, February, or so. You know, you're trying to get them in quicker, and so that is stressful. Facing relatives that you don't really care for, that could become stressful, you know. You've got to see them. It's Christmas time. That's the norm, but you don't want to see them ever, but you need to. And then trying to meet that deadline. Yes, December 25th is a deadline, and you've got to get things done. Maybe you overlooked getting batteries, and now it's Christmas Day, and everything that you bought your kids have to have batteries. Or maybe you don't put the Christmas presents together because you think it would be fun. And so you wait until Christmas Day and you decide, I'm going to put all the Christmas presents together as they open them up. And now screws and bolts and nuts are rolling all over the floor. Kids are wanting to play on their present, but it's going to take you 3 hours to figure out where all the screws, the bolts, and the nuts have rolled all over the floor and then put it all together. Maybe you have a divorce situation, and that's a hard thing. You want to spend time with dad, and you want to spend time with mom, and it's hard. And maybe they're married now. They have different spouses, and that makes it even more complicated, especially if there's hardships between them. Christmas lights that don't work. Well, they worked last year, or at least you remember they did. Or traveling. You try to get a ticket, but you book it too late, and that causes stress. And the ticket price is just extra high. Missing, if you would please, your credit card. You knew you had it. You hope somebody else don't have it, but you can't figure out where you put it. Or if you would please, trying to get through those lines, and you have rude people. I know not here in Texas, but in other states they have rude people, and you're trying to be able to sort through the rude people, and that causes stress. Oh my, so many things. Well, here's what our Bible says. Our Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, and it came to pass, of course, that they went and they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So she gave the invitation, received him in. Verse 39, the Bible says she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, these sisters are opposite poles, you understand. And here Martha is in verse 40. The Bible says she was cumbered about with much serving, the Bible says, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me, it says, to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, and the one thing is needful, verse 42, and Mary hath chosen that good part, it says, which shall not be taken away from her. And so how is it that you can handle stress? Well, here we see in verse 40, the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about. The Bible says with much serving, the Bible says, and here she is. She's doing as much as she can, I think, in preparatory work to be able to serve her Lord, but here she's experiencing stress. Matter of fact, she's experiencing stress so much, she comes over and she complains to the Lord. She said, I'm doing all this, and all my sisters don't just sit in there. Just sitting there. And you could tell it bothered her, because she comes over and she says to the Lord, why isn't she helping? Why don't you tell her? Why don't you bid her to come help me? Because I've got all this stuff. You know, and if we're not careful, we can get busy about the wrong things. And as you get busy about the wrong things, it causes stress. Now, what is stress? Well, stress is your body's alarm system. That's what it is. It's telling you that you've got too much on you in one or more areas, and you've got to balance the scales, or you got to approach it differently. There's never a time in your life, my dear friend, that you ought to be under so much stress that you're short with someone in your tone. Did you get what I said? I had one amen. Thank you, Brother Han. But you should never be under so much stress that you're short with someone in your tone, where you're coming across with a mean disposition, where it seems like that they're annoying you or they're getting on your nerves. It ought not to be that way. Now, by the way, not all stress is bad. Some stress is good. Some stress is the spice of life. So not all stress is bad, but if you're not careful, if you take stress the wrong way, it can become bad. It can be hurtful to you. Stress, of course, the result can be from anything. You could get stressed out because somebody annoys you. You could get stressed out because somebody threatens you. You could get stressed out because somebody prods you. You could become stressed out because something excites you, something scares you, or something worries you. You can get stressed out because somebody tries to hurry you. They try to anger you. They try to frustrate you. They challenge you or they criticize you. They try to hurt your self-esteem by attacking your character. So stress is something, if you're not careful, it's like that rubber band. If I had a big rubber band and it would stretch just a little ways, maybe about halfway between Brother Craig and I said, you grab that part, I'll grab this part, and you sit there, don't you move. And I just begin to walk back, and I'm stretching that rubber band as much as I possibly can. And the more I walk away, can I tell you, that rubber band feels it, if it could feel. But if I let go, somebody else is going to feel it. And see, what the problem is stress is like that rubber band. You know, you can let it just build and build and build. Some of the symptoms of stress, they say, is this: frequent headaches, stiffness in the neck, stiffness in the shoulders, the jaw, the arms, the legs, stomach problems, an irregular heartbeat, irritations in the mind that just seem to wrestle you to the ground that you cannot put away. Getting dizzy or lightheaded. These are symptoms of stress. Suffering from colds or hoarseness regularly. Indigestion. Being nausea. Discomfort in the stomach. Difficulty or failing to be able to sleep. Stress will cause those things. Waking up frequently at night so that in the morning when you get up, you're tired like you didn't sleep any. Cold hands and cold feet. Excessive, if you would please, perspiration. Hunger or irritability because it just seems like you can never get enough to eat. Now, those things are symptoms of stress. So what is it tonight that we can do to be able? Notice this, if you will. Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, the Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about with serving. It says much serving, emphasis there, and came to him. Well, she came to the right person. She did. She came to the Lord. She didn't come for the right reason, but she came to the right person and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Well, of course he cares. Of course he cares. By the way, don't do that to your husband. Don't do that to your wife. Please don't do that. Don't do that to your friend. Don't do that to your children. Children, don't do it to mom and daddy. When you're under stress, don't go to that one that you love so much and say, well, don't you even care? Don't you care? Don't you have any feelings for me? Don't you care? You know, sometimes people don't know what you're going through. You know, some of you could be great actors because you see your face does not give away what your heart is feeling. Your face does not give away what you're feeling on the inside. You cover it well. So can I say this tonight? Please be kind to somebody that is a relative of yours. Please be kind to your friend tonight. All of a sudden, don't pass a quick judgment and say, well, I tell you what, I thought you loved me. I thought you really cared about me. Well, what's your problem? We've been married all these years. Don't you understand me yet? Hello? You've got to be very, very careful with your words when you're the one that's under stress. Your husband may not be feeling the stress that you're feeling, so he doesn't understand what you're feeling. Your wife might not be feeling the stress that you understand. You know, can I say this? It doesn't matter who is experiencing the stress. People that view you, they don't understand what you're going through on the inside. They just don't understand because they're not going through it. My wife and I are completely different. We handle stress completely different. We do. Our children are completely different one from another. I've watched them growing up. They're all adults now. Each one of them handles stress differently. Each one of them does. Now I'm watching grandkids. Oh, yeah. You can see it in grandkids. You sure can. And each one of them handles responsibility and stress differently. So what I'm saying is this. When you find somebody that's under stress, don't pass a quick judgment, if you would please, and become short-natured with them. And you that are under stress, you don't become short-natured, if you will please, with other people thinking that they understand everything you're going through. They don't, because they're not going through it. See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, now watch this, bid her therefore that she help me. In other words, you tell her to get up from there. It's not fair. Tell her to get up. Tell her to get over here and help me. It's not fair. I mean, I'm doing all this work and she's just sitting there looking at your feet. What in the world? Now, can I tell you, Peter Ducker said this. He wrote a book years ago called The Effective Executive, and he wrote this. He said, the problem is not priorities. The problem is postarities. You just postpone things. You procrastinate. And when you procrastinate, what happens is it eventually does come up. You eventually have to handle it. But if you just keep putting it on the back burner, well, I'll tell you what, I'll wait. The waiters are always laters. They're always late for stuff, you know? Now, can I tell you, you don't need to procrastinate. Get up, walk with God, get up, do what you're supposed to do, take the trash out before the trash man comes, not after he comes where you're chasing him down the street. Learn to get the cooking done ahead of time. Don't wait till the day of, or don't wait until the hour before. Get it all done ahead of time. Do your Christmas shopping and try and get as much done in November as you possibly can, or spread it out through the year so that it's not on you the day of Christmas or when the sales are. And I realize that some of that is related to money, but put it in your budget and buy a little bit here and buy a little bit there. And when you find a sale, even at Christmas time, even at summertime, you can buy Christmas presents at summertime. God's not against that. You can do that. You can find a good deal when businesses are going out, when they're closing their doors. You can find excellent deals at closures. And you can be able to put it in a closet somewhere, put the kid's name on it, put the adult's name on it, and then keep record of what you're buying them so that you don't buy them everything at one Christmas. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what happened. Here, Martha is complaining, and she's distracted. She's distracted from what she's supposed to be looking at. Who is she supposed to be serving? Who is she supposed to be giving her attention to? She's supposed to be giving her attention to the Lord, but she was looking at the things, as you see mentioned here, the things that cumbered her about, and she forgot the Lord. Now, I'm not saying, just say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go look at the Lord, and I'm not going to cook this year. Bless the Lord, let them eat out of cans. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can prioritize. You can prioritize to help yourself not to become under stress. Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, the Bible says, but one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part, it says, and watch it now, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, that's not saying that Mary was lazy. That was just saying that at this point in her life, she had her priorities right. She was somebody that had chose the good part. And I think that you and I have to decide that we're going to choose the good part. Lucy Norma wrote an article in Outreach Magazine on December the 15th of 1996. And the article she wrote was called this, An Atmosphere of Calm. She said, I got up. She said it was the day I was going to buy my Christmas presents. And she says, as I decided to go to the store, I was looking for at least 10 to 25% discounts on all that I could find. She said, I didn't realize that others were looking for the same thing. She said, I got into this store and they had 10% off. 10% off. All of a sudden, I went over there and I grabbed the blanket that I wanted. I had the blanket. And then all of a sudden, the announcer came across and said, we're going to give an additional 25% off if you get them now. Get them all. A lady jerked the blanket out of my hand. I'm standing there. It was in my hand. She jerked it out of my hand. We began to wrestle back and forth as I grabbed it and jerked it back. She said the lady was rude. She was going to steal my blanket. I decided she's not going to win. So she started pulling the blanket one way. I started pulling the blanket the other way. Before you know it, we're gritting teeth at each other. We're mad at each other. She said my calmness had totally fled. So I won. I got the torn blanket. I went up and I got more of a discount because it was torn. I stood in line. She said I needed to calm down. I decided to go get a glass of tea somewhere, so I went to get a glass of tea. As I was there, I was sitting, waiting for the waiter to come. All I wanted was a glass of tea. She seemed to ignore me. I hollered at her, said, what is your problem? You're not a good waitress. Maybe you ought to go out and get a better job. Then it hit me. What have I done? I thought that today was supposed to be a calm day. I thought everything was going to be all right. I noticed another waiter came to my table as my waitress was now standing in the corner crying. He was very kind. He served me. He was polite. He helped her to wait on her other tables because I disturbed her. I gave her a big tip. I apologized. But it was all because of that lady that stole my blanket. Now, that's not the reason. The reason is because she lost control. It wasn't because somebody stole the blanket. It was because she decided that she was going to let that get under her skin. Hello? Did it ever occur to you when you're in Dallas traffic, no matter how mad you get, it doesn't help the traffic to move quicker? Did it ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you, my dear friend, when you're sitting at a red light, no matter how much in a hurry you are, it's not going to help the red light to change quicker? Did that ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you when somebody passes you and they're doing 80 miles, 85, 90 miles an hour, and you're being a good citizen and you're driving the speed limit, did it ever occur to you if you speed up and you pass them that you've accomplished nothing? Did it ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you if somebody runs you off the road and you just happen to have a four-wheel drive and you catch up with them, it's not going to make you feel better if you run them off the road. Ever occurred to you? Never occurred to you if somebody pulls up behind you and they start blowing their horn and doing sign language that you all of a sudden decide that you're going to get even by riding up behind them and doing that doesn't accomplish anything. Did it ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you that maybe you're looking at the problem, you're looking at the harshness, you're looking at the temptation, you're looking at the problem in a way that Christ himself would not look at it? Did you ever think that maybe that person that God sent in your life that's getting on your nerves is for your good? Maybe God's trying to do something in your life that this person will help you to get in your life, and you need that sandpaper. I'm sorry, but I think too many people, Dr. Bachman, I think they blame their parents way too much for the way they turned out. Well, I didn't have a good example at home. Well, you know, my dad was a drunk. My my, you know, I tell you what, my parents didn't have any character. Well, they could never hold down a job. Well, I think it's about time that you stop blaming your parents and you get a life. You can become anything you want to become, but you have to decide that's what you want to become, and by God's grace, if it's God's will, you walk therein. Life is not difficult. Challenges are not things that you can't overcome. You just decide by God's grace, I will. I will. I will. And no matter who you are today, God can use you in a marvelous way if you just yield yourself to God. Let me give you some thoughts here. How is it that you can overcome stress? Number one, I'm going to give you three thoughts with some minor points on it. We're going to pray and go. Lay out a plan. Lay out a plan. So how is it that you can overcome stress? Lay out a plan. State what your expectations are up front. Plan it in your head. Lay it out. Share it with your family, your friends, whoever you need to. Get them to be a part of the plan. So what do? You lay out a plan. What do? You plan it out. Plan it out in your head. Put it down on paper. This is what we want to do. This is how we want to accomplish this. Then you enlist people to help you to carry out that plan. You can't do it all. I thank God for the assistant pastors here. I thank God for the deacons that are here. Thank God for the faculty members that are here. I thank God for every person that sings on the choir, those that work in the nursery, those that work on the bus routes. We could go on and on. Those that's in the orchestra, those that work in the sound booth, those that work in the media center. We can go on and on. The security department. You know, we can just go on and on and on. Those that work in junior churches, those that work in Sunday school classes, those that work in helping with the special needs department, those that work in the deaf department. We can just keep going on and on and on and on. Those that work at the Far Above Rubies, those that help out with the Baptist Scout Rangers that we're getting ready to launch again, those that's wanting to help out with this and help out with that. We just go on and on and on and on. Now, can I tell you, a church that will function well is when many people get involved. But that's the way it is with family. Don't do this to your dear mother. You girls that ought to be learning how to cook anyway. Don't do this to your dear mother. Well, I'll tell you what, mom's going to cook a big, oh, it's going to be so good. Ho, I tell you, it's going to be great. Oh, I'm just going to enjoy having a Christmas dinner. Now, don't be lazy. Get up and help her. Yes, there is an inside of the turkey. Get up and help her. Yes, there is ingredients she puts in baking the pie. Get up and help her. Yes, that cake just doesn't all of a sudden pop out. And there it is, a wonder. Get up and help. Dad's old and he's trying to put up Christmas lights. If he falls off the ladder, you're going to feel bad. You get up there and help him put the Christmas lights up. Matter of fact, you get on the ladder. Let him be the guy on the bottom. He's got more weight to hold it anyway. Now, I'm saying this. What I'm saying is lay out a plan. Share your plan with others. Get others involved. Get others involved, okay? Learn to lighten your calendar with things that only you can do. Respect the budget that you have. Lay out a plan. You say, well, I need to get it, preacher, because it's a deal. There will always be deals. You can always buy cars. You can always talk people down. You can always negotiate. You can always, my daddy used to say, bring in the ringer. You can always do that if you know what you're doing with finances. Okay, statement number one, lay out a plan. Statement number two, I said I got three statements. Statement number three with points on it, put your most significant relationships first. Talking about at Christmas time, we're talking about holiday time, we're talking about stressful times. Put your most important relationships first. Christ ought to be first. Amen. Christ ought to be first. You ought to spend personal time with Christ. You wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be going to heaven. You wouldn't have a Christian home if it wasn't for Christ. Your spouse. When your spouse is under extra stress, it's a good time to have a date night. Go out on a date. Don't always go to the same thing. Add some spice in your life. Take her to someplace different. Now, take her to someplace she likes. If your wife can't stand pizza, then don't go to a pizza place. If your wife can't stand something else, don't take her there. Hello? That went over good, Lord. There's Christ. Keep Christ first. The spouse. Family. Family. I'm talking about putting the most significant relationships first. Christ, your spouse, your family. You ready? Then others. Then others. Then others. Look, this is the gospel truth. There's not a person that I pastor in this room. If you had a problem, there's not a person I pastor in this room I would not rise up and try and help. But now, if you got a problem at the same time my wife's having a problem, then you take second place. You got a problem at the same time one of my kiddos is having a problem or a grandkid's having a problem, then you go down the line just a little bit. In other words, if I've got to dedicate the time, I've got to dedicate it to, now thank the Lord, as far as I know, they're not having any problems that I know about until after church. All right, but what I'm saying is this. I'm saying, make those significant relationships first. And lastly, here it is. Focus on those that need help. Focus on those that need help. I said this morning. I preached down at the Chapel on Wheels. Brother Butler was kind enough to invite me to be a part of his ministry, and I went down there and had the privilege to preach this past Saturday, and Dr. Botman did a good job. Brother Walter's wife, Amy, is down sick, and he did a good job preaching down there at our church plant in South Dallas, and I appreciate him and appreciate, as I said this morning, all those that work in those various fields and others that work in those fields. I thank God for each and every one of you. But now, wait a minute, watch this, okay? Look for needs. Look for needs. I've got some neighbor friends now that they know who I am and they know what I know. And so they come to me and say, what do you think I ought to do about this? I got a question about this. This is happening in my marriage. What do you think I ought to do about this? I got a question about friendship. I've got a question about child rearing. I got a question about this. Give me some advice, preacher. What do you think about this? I got doctor friends now that are my doctors that will call me and say, I'm having some marriage problems. Can you give me some advice about this, Dr. Wells? What do you think about this? All right, now look, that's not bad. That's good. You find people that have needs. You be able to avail yourself to people that have needs in their life. That's what God put you here for. And God gives each and every one of us different insight to be able to help people. You may, don't get mad at me, you may know how to run a business well, but you're a lousy father. Or you're a lousy husband. You may know how to run a business well, but you're a lousy wife or a lousy mother. Or you may be a great mom, you may be a great dad, but boy, I tell you what, when it comes to putting money in the bank, you don't have a penny to your name because you're a spendthrift. That means you spend it all. Now, can I tell you, what the preacher does? If the preacher's worth his salt, he's going to throw some stuff out there to help you balance your life. The Bible says that a just balance is his delight. It's his delight. Okay? But a false balance, that's an abomination. Okay, now watch this if you want. I'll quit right here. In Luke chapter 2 in verse 14, it says this. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now, I think we ought to be able to do that this time of year. I think we ought to be able to do it. Amen. That thing about silent night, that song, silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleeping heavily, peace. Sleeping heavily, peace. There should be peace. There should be peace in your home. There should be peace in your family. Hello. By the way, confide in each other. Come on, wife. Go to your husband and say, look, I've got so much stress that I'm under right now, I need some extra help. Can you help me? And your husband loving you like he does, he's going to say, sure, honey, what do you need me to do? Now, if I were you, and he don't know how to cook, give him do something else. Use your brain. But I'm saying, work together as a family. Take the stress off. Take the stress off. My wife said this the other day. Somebody was telling her that they were under a lot of stress, and she said this, and I've heard this before, and doctors can validate it, but I just hadn't heard it in a long time. She said, sometimes you just have to go outside and just holler. I think that'd be fun around our house, watch the cows run. And in your case, watch the neighbors run. But what I'm saying, and she hadn't done that, thank the Lord. The cows are still sane. But I'm saying this. I'm saying you know what you need to do in your life. One of the best things you could do, have that good walk with God. Just have that good walk with God. We had trouble in our church, you know. A long time back now. And when I say trouble in the church, we got good people. We had good people then. But it put me under a little bit of stress. You know, there was, when I first came, there were some financial challenges and stuff. And boy, I'd go out to that backfield out there. He'd see me. He'd been around here a long time. He was about as old as Noah. I'd go out that backfield out there, and boy, I'd just walk around, say, okay, God, it's you and me. We need to talk about these things. I just walk around that backfield, just pray, and just, you know, by the time I got done walking that backfield and praying, I just had perfect peace. Sometimes you take too much upon you. Sometimes you are cumbered about with so great a weight. It'll not be that way. I think you ought to get along with the Lord and let the Lord help you. Let the Lord put a song back in your heart, friend. Let Him do that. Let Him bring a smile to your face. And enjoy being a Christian. You know, you're among some of the most godly Christians that I know. I'm being honest with you. You're in a church, and you are among some of those godly Christians I've ever met in my life. Now take advantage of that. Have some godly friends that will help you, walk beside you, and love you. That's why God put them here. That's why they're here. They're here for you. And allow God to use them. Now, Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege to come. And God, I thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we have this example tonight of two sisters, if you will. Lord, didn't quite see the eye, but the Lord reminded Martha that Mary had chosen that good thing and that He'll not let her go. Lord, help us to be wise in our priorities during this season and to choose that which is a good thing. Getting close to you so you can help us during time of trouble, during time of stress. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.